Next, if you have access, look at the logo of Spectrum and what do you find in a rather more subtle but more impressive way? An all-seeing beam from the triangle flowing directly from the lower point of the red ray. This is another symbol of the Illuminati and is more specifically related symbolically to the red shield of the Rothschilds. Do the persons involved know as much? Not all of them, because they are too ego-centered to even consider such a thing. Where, however, does that put you who just tag along in your blindness? Anyone who breaks the laws of God and or of man in such games as twin flames, soulmates, for the express purpose of using another person, takes for self an ego-snatched proprietary property as well as hard product and property, including money, yet, is of 147, Satan's workshop, and they are bound to wear a sign and bear a clue. However, who you befriend and support is certainly your business, but don't be shocked when you are excluded from the door of those you injure in the process of same. You have to understand that the triangle has a most godly meaning, but a pyramid had quite another symbolic meaning, as well as a prism having even greater meaning, most of which you would wish to deny in the open light of truth. Now it was once again Big Brother's turn to stage something. A world army was planned by the UN, after all. The collapse of oil prices in 1986 had hit the Soviet planned economy very hard. From the 70s onwards, oil export had been an important foreign exchange source for the Kremlin. The earnings were just then going down when Gorbachev with his reforms promised more than he could keep. The resulting economic chaos was one of the reasons why Moscow relinquished liaisons to the Eastern European satellite states. Many Soviets counted on a reunited Germany as the ideal partner for the building of the Russian economy. In November 1989 was when the Soviet rug was pulled from under the feet of East Germany. Under pressure by the refugees leaving via Hungary and the freedom movement on East Germany's streets, the old GDR was dissolved within weeks. While outwardly the dramatic end of communist tyranny was celebrated, the Illuminati had serious doubts about the success of a people's revolution in Eastern Europe. They were further alarmed by the prospect of an alternative to the US economic policy developing in Germany. Therefore, the Anglo-American media was quickly given the keyword Fourth Reich. The political strategists in London and Washington saw long-term repercussions of German unity and a renewed, strong and eventually independent Germany only too clearly. They also realized the danger that the project Germany might be successful, against the Illuminati's will, in raising and pulling along other countries because of the power and faith of 85 million people. In the summer of 1990, the Thatcher government, according to London sources, bade the British Secret Service considerably strengthen its activities in Germany and to this end established a new Secret Service department. The Bush administration, too, took steps to strengthen its influence on German policy. An independent and positive development is not part of the plans of the Illuminati. Thus, on November 30, 1989, Alfred Herrhausen, chairman of the Deutsche Bank and member of the Bilderberger Group, was assassinated by professional killers, not the Red Brigade, the RAF, wrote Arm Fraction. Herrhausen was an important advisor to Kohl. A few days earlier, in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, he had talked about his plans for the rebuilding of East Germany. In one decade it should become Europe's most progressive industrial nation. He also talked about a funding program for third world nations. Apparently, Herrhausen had positioned himself against the system of the establishment, which he had clearly stated at the Bilderberg Conference of 1988 and at a meeting of the American Chamber of Commerce, also in 1988. Later the head of the Treuhand, Detlef Wedder, was also shot dead. An assassination attempt on Wolfgang Schäuble failed to kill him. All attacks were linked to the rebuilding program in East Germany. That the Phantom of the Red Brigade had to take the blame in the killing of Herrhausen is close to a bad joke. Herrhausen was one of the most vulnerable personalities in Germany, and special security arrangements had been made. The security department of the Deutsche Bank guarded his person, The police was responsible for patrolling the area where he lived and used for the observation of the residential area specially trained and equipped units of the Hessian Mobile Task Force, MEC. Despite this, the assassins managed to dig a hole in the street in Bad Homburg, to lay a cable and resurface the road without anybody who you befriend and support is certainly your business, but don't be shocked when you are excluded from the door of those you injure in the process of same. You have to understand that the triangle has a most godly meaning, but a pyramid had quite another symbolic meaning, as well as a prism having even greater meaning, most of which you would wish to deny in the open light of truth. Now it was once again Big Brother's turn to stage something. A world army was planned by the UN, after all. The collapse of oil prices in 1986 had hit the Soviet planned economy very hard. From the 70s onwards, oil export had been an important foreign exchange source for the Kremlin. The earnings were just then going down when Gorbachev with his reforms promised more than he could keep. The resulting economic chaos was one of the reasons why Moscow relinquished liaisons to the Eastern European satellite states. Many Soviets counted on a reunited Germany as the ideal partner for the building of the Russian economy. In November 1989 was when the Soviet rug was pulled from under the feet of East Germany. Under pressure by the refugees leaving via Hungary and the freedom movement on East Germany's streets, the old GDR was dissolved within weeks. While outwardly the dramatic end of communist tyranny was celebrated, the Illuminati had serious doubts about the success of a people's revolution in Eastern Europe. They were further alarmed by the prospect of an alternative to the US economic policy developing in Germany. Therefore, the Anglo-American media was quickly given the keyword Fourth Reich. The political strategists in London and Washington saw long-term repercussions of German unity and a renewed, strong and eventually independent Germany only too clearly. They also realized the danger that the project Germany might be successful, against the Illuminati's will, in raising and pulling along other countries because of the power and faith of 85 million people. In the summer of 1990, the Thatcher government, according to London sources, bade the British Secret Service considerably strengthen its activities in Germany and to this end established a new Secret Service department. The Bush administration, too, took steps to strengthen its influence on German policy. An independent and positive development is not part of the plans of the Illuminati. Thus, on November 30, 1989, Alfred Herrhausen, chairman of the Deutsche Bank and member of the Bilderberger Group, was assassinated by professional killers, not the Red Brigade, the RAF, wrote Arm Fraction. Herrhausen was an important advisor to Kohl. A few days earlier, in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, he had talked about his plans for the rebuilding of East Germany. In one decade it should become Europe's most progressive industrial nation. He also talked about a funding program for third world nations. Apparently, Herrhausen had positioned himself against the system of the establishment, which he had clearly stated at the Bilderberg Conference of 1988 and at a meeting of the American Chamber of Commerce, also in 1988. Later the head of the Treuhand, Detlef Wedder, was also shot dead. An assassination attempt on Wolfgang Schäuble failed to kill him. All attacks were linked to the rebuilding program in East Germany. That the Phantom of the Red Brigade had to take the blame in the killing of Herrhausen is close to a bad joke. Herrhausen was one of the most vulnerable personalities in Germany, and special security arrangements had been made. The security department of the Deutsche Bank guarded his person, the police was responsible for patrolling the area where he lived and used for the observation of the residential area specially trained and equipped units of the Hessian Mobile Task Force, MEC. Despite this, the assassins managed to dig a hole in the street in Bad Homburg, to lay a cable and resurface the road without anybody, 148, noticing. Chief Federal Prosecutor von Stahl told the members of the Bundestag that the attack had been planned a week earlier and that the assassins had already installed almost all parts of the later bomb trap, including the cable subsequently identified as the lead to the fuse mechanism. On the day of the attack, the assassins installed a photoelectrics barrier and positioned the bomb mounted on a bicycle so that Herrhausen's car had to pass immediately by it. All these preparations happened at a location that had been patrolled by the police just half an hour before without them noticing anything untoward. This is remarkable, because a janitor of the swimming baths nearby had seen, about half an hour before the attack, some young men who acted conspicuously. In addition, the trap would only work if Herrhausen's car would pass first through the photoelectric barrier, not preceded by another car. The former president of the Bundesfunksatz, the German secret service, Drive Richard Meyer, told the Bundestag, the German parliament, 1 week after the attack, that the car normally leading Herrhausen's three-car convoy had been called off. Had somebody from the RAF telephoned and said that the first car was hindering the assassination? Another peculiarity thought out by the assassins, which points to a lot of experience in handling military explosives, in the fact that the bomb was fashioned as a hollow charge. This had the effect of the shockwave being directional instead of uniformly extending all around. The building of this bomb, as well as the knowledge of the weak points of the armored Mercedes car with the opening side windows, about which only a small circle of security specialists who had seen the pertinent test results knew, all this cannot by any stretch of the imagination be blamed on the RAF terrorists or any other beginners. The security service could not find any useful leads at the site of the attack what would enable them to point to any group of perpetrators. A piece of paper with a five-pointed star, a picture of a Heckler and Koch submachine gun with RAF stenciled on and the words Commando Wolfgang Beer had been left behind, which, however, did not lead anywhere. As with all the other attacks apparently made by an RAF since the arrest of the so-called second RAF generation around Christian Klar and the now well-known disappearing of part of the terrorists in the former GDR since 1984, there was and is not a single proof of an actually existing leftist terrorist group that can legitimately be called RAF. There are no fingerprints, no saliva on cigarette stubs, no hair nor any other useful leads to the perpetrators who for 9 years now have been bombing, shooting and recently expertly blew up a prison. The letter claiming responsibility in the Herrhausen case was so flimsy that the former Federal Minister of the Interior Schauble criticized that the contents of the letter were curiously at odds with the severity and technical perfection of the assassination. There was a desperate lack of proofs or even hints and clues of a terrorist organization RAF. Still, the security service of Germany is holding on to the theory of an RAF committing these crimes. On July 1, 1992, the authors of a German TV report in Brennpunkt, Focus, titled The End of the RAF Legend, showed the results of their research. They postulated that the so-called third generation RAF that was officially blamed for these attacks existed only as a legend that was no longer tenable. The Brennpunkt authors Wolfgang Landgraber, Eckhard Sicker and Gerard Wisniewski elaborated on their thesis in their book about the RAF Phantom, Neue Verlag. Their main arguments, contrary to the first, Meinhof, Bader, Inslin, and the second, Susanne Albrecht, Christian Klar, RAF generations, the so-called third generation leaves not even a hint of a clue at the scene of the crime. The persons counted among the third generation, for example Christian Stoller, all disappeared without a trace in the mid-80s, without any sign of life ever emerging since. Attack had been planned a week earlier, and that the assassins had already installed almost all parts of the later bomb trap, including the cable subsequently identified as the lead to the fuse mechanism. On the day of the attack, the assassins installed a photoelectrics barrier and positioned the bomb mounted on a bicycle so that Herrhausen's car had to pass immediately by it. All these preparations happened at a location that had been patrolled by the police just half an hour before without them noticing anything untoward. This is remarkable, because a janitor of the swimming baths nearby had seen, about half an hour before the attack, some young men who acted conspicuously. In addition, the trap would only work if Herrhausen's car would pass first through the photoelectric barrier, not preceded by another car. The former president of the Bundesfunksatz, the German secret service, Drive Richard Mier, told the Bundestag. The German parliament, 1 week after the attack, that the car normally leading Herr Orsen's three-car convoy had been called off. Had somebody from the RAF telephoned and said that the first car was hindering the assassination? Another peculiarity thought out by the assassins, which points to a lot of experience in handling military explosives, in the fact that the bomb was fashioned as a hollow charge. This had the effect of the shockwave being directional instead of uniformly extending all around. The building of this bomb, as well as the knowledge of the weak points of the armored Mercedes car with the opening side windows, about which only a small circle of security specialists who had seen the pertinent test results knew, all this cannot by any stretch of the imagination be blamed on the RAF terrorists or any other beginners. The security service could not find any useful leads at the site of the attack what would enable them to point to any group of perpetrators. A piece of paper with a five-pointed star, a picture of a Heckler and Koch submachine gun with RAF stenciled on and the words Commando Wolfgang Beer had been left behind, which, however, did not lead anywhere. As with all the other attacks apparently made by an RAF since the arrest of the so-called second RAF generation around Christian Klar and the now well-known disappearing of part of the terrorists in the former GDR since 1984, there was and is not a single proof of an actually existing leftist terrorist group that can legitimately be called RAF. There are no fingerprints, no saliva on cigarette tubs, no hair nor any other useful leads to the perpetrators who for 9 years now have been bombing, shooting and recently expertly blew up a prison. The letter claiming responsibility in the Herr Orsen case was so flimsy that the former Federal Minister of the Interior Schaubel criticized that the contents of the letter were curiously at odds with the severity and technical perfection of the assassination. There was a desperate lack of proofs or even hints and clues of a terrorist organization RAF. Still, the security service of Germany is holding on to the theory of an RAF committing these crimes. On July 1, 1992, the authors of a German TV report in Brennpunkt, Focus, titled The End of the RAF Legend, showed the results of their research. They postulated that the so-called third-generation RAF that was officially blamed for these attacks existed only as a legend that was no longer tenable. The Brennpunkt authors Wolfgang Landgraber, Eckhard Sicker and Gerard Wisniewski elaborated on their thesis in their book about the RAF Phantom, Nordverlag. Their main arguments, contrary to the first, Meinhof, Bader, Inslin, and the second, Susanne Albrecht, Christian Klar, RAF generations, the so-called third generation leaves not even a hint of a clue at the scene of the crime. The persons counted among the third generation, for example Christian Stoller, all disappeared without a trace in the mid-80s, without any sign of life ever emerging since. 149, the cells being commanded by terrorists in prison is doubted if not outright excluded by specialists. The command level had to be elsewhere. The only clues from which the perpetration by the RAF had been deduced were the letters claiming responsibility that were deemed authentic by the Federal Secret Service. The methods used to reach this verdict are not above doubt, however. The main point in the program was an interview with the principal witness of the Herr Orsen case, Sigrid Nunn, who now retracted his statement of January 1992. He said that he had been forced by members of the Hessian office responsible for defending the Constitution, threatening him with imprisonment and murder, to make the false statement of having harbored the perpetrators in his apartment in Bad Homburg and to have helped them prepare the assassination of Alfred Herr Orsen. The TV team reached the conclusions that the third generation RAF were a phantom artificially kept alive to mislead the population. Further, there was the suspicion that the political powers of the Federal Republic of Germany had not only tolerated but fostered outright the disappearances of a large section of RAF members in the former GDR in the late 70s and early 80s. It is probable that not only the secret services of the Allies but also the German authorities have known that these former RAF members had gone underground in the GDR. The public, however, was led to believe that these people still shown on wanted posters had something to do with the attacks in the 80s. In the most recent attack that the so-called RAF claimed having perpetrated was the expert detonation of the prison building at Weiterstadt. Everything was as usual, just a paper with a RAF emblem and the commando name, otherwise no clues, no mistakes, no witnesses. The Italian journalist Cipriani had interviewed the former American Air Force Colonel Fletcher Putti, who finds the key to Herrhausen's assassination in the first 11 pages of a speech Herrhausen was going to deliver in the U.S. 4 days after his murder. It contained Herrhausen's vision of a new evaluation of the situation between Eastern and Western Europe, which would have changed the destiny of the world. Colonel Putti said in the interview further that Alfred Herrhausen, John F. Kennedy, Aldo Moro, Enrico Matta and Olof Palme had all been murdered for the same reason, because they did not accept the world being controlled by the Kundamunim of Jalta. In every case it had been the deed of a small elite group that saw their power founded upon the idea of a Pax Mundiale, world peace, threatened. Remarks on today's situation. The purposefully staged wave of asylum seekers arriving in Germany forms part of the elite's plan for a new world order. It is used to build up hostility to foreigners, xenophobia, in Germany. Thus the right-wing political parties would get more adherents and acts of violence by right-wingers towards asylum seekers, and the handicapped would increase to justify the propaganda slogan Fourth Reich disseminated by the Anglo-American establishment. Since the reunification of the two German nations and the demise of the Order of Versailles and Jalta, the political class of Germany refused to openly stand up against the geopolitically motivated propaganda of a rise of a Fourth Reich. Quite on the contrary, some forces, for example the chairman of the European Trilateral Commission, Otto Graf Lambsdorff, follow political economically the same aggressive course with the same effect as the objectives of the geopoliticians: no infringement on the failed politics by the IMF, the holding at bat of German initiatives. The outbursts of Mr. Peter Glotz, one of the SPD leaders, against the condemnation of the Serbian aggression in the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung bear witness to the geopolitical views within Germany. The geopolitically aligned nations, England, France and the US, would like a second Near East, an open wound in the southern flank of Europe. War in cells being commanded by terrorists in prison is doubted if not outright excluded by specialists. The command level had to be elsewhere. The only clues from which the perpetration by the RAF had been deduced were the letters claiming responsibility that were deemed authentic by the Federal Secret Service. The methods used to reach this verdict are not above doubt, however. The main point in the program was an interview with the principal witness of the Herrhausen case, Sigrid Nunn, who now retracted his statement of January 1992. He said that he had been forced by members of the Hessian office responsible for defending the constitution threatening him with imprisonment and murder to make the false statement of having harbored the perpetrators in his apartment in Bad Homburg and to have helped them prepare the assassination of Alfred Herrhausen. The TV team reached the conclusions that the third generation RAF were a phantom artificially kept alive to mislead the population. Further, there was the suspicion that the political powers of the Federal Republic of Germany had not only tolerated but fostered outright the disappearances of a large section of RAF members in the former GDR in the late 70s and early 80s. It is probable that not only the secret services of the Allies but also the German authorities have known that these former RAF members had gone underground in the GDR. The public, however, was led to believe that these people still shown on wanted posters had something to do with the attacks in the 80s. In the most recent attack that the so-called RAF claimed having perpetrated was the expert detonation of the prison building at Weiterstadt, everything was as usual, just a paper with the RAF emblem and the commando name, otherwise no clues, no mistakes, no witnesses. The Italian journalist Cipriani had interviewed the former American Air Force Colonel Fletcher Putti, who finds the key to Herrhausen's assassination in the first 11 pages of a speech Herrhausen was going to deliver in the U.S. 4 days after his murder. It contained Herrhausen's vision of a new evaluation of the situation between Eastern and Western Europe, which would have changed the destiny of the world. Colonel Prutty said in the interview further that Alfred Herrhausen, John F. Kennedy, Aldo Moro, Enrico Matter and Olof Palme had all been murdered for the same reason, because they did not accept the world being controlled by the Kundamunim of Jalta. In every case it had been the deed of a small elite group that saw their power founded upon the idea of a Pax Mundiale, world peace, threatened. Remarks on today's situation. The purposefully staged wave of asylum seekers arriving in Germany forms part of the elite's plan for a new world order. It is used to build up hostility to foreigners, xenophobia, in Germany. Thus the right-wing political parties would get more adherents and acts of violence by right-wingers towards asylum seekers and the handicapped would increase to justify the propaganda slogan Fourth Reich disseminated by the Anglo-American establishment. Since the reunification of the two German nations and the demise of the Order of Versailles and Jalta, the political class of Germany refused to openly stand up against the geopolitically motivated propaganda of a rise of a Fourth Reich. Quite on the contrary, some forces, for example the chairman of the European Trilateral Commission, Otto Graf Lambsdorff, follow political-economically the same aggressive course with the same effect as the objectives of the geopoliticians, no infringement on the failed politics by the IMF, the holding at bat of German initiatives. The outbursts of Mr. Peter Glotz, one of the SPD leaders, against the condemnation of the Serbian aggression in the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung bear witness to the geopolitical views within Germany. The geopolitically aligned nations, England, France and the US would like a second Near East, an open wound in the southern flank of Europe, war in 150, Yugoslavia, to stop an eventual Eurasian reform which would be centered on closer collaboration with Russia, France and Germany. If one country can influence the events in Eastern Europe, then that country is Germany. Under these political guidelines all efforts contravening this plan, for example the German economic development endeavors towards the East, have to be thwarted at all cost. The vulnerability and weakness of Chancellor Kohl and his government could not have been better demonstrated before the world than by the fact that in the same month the wall came down. Dr. Alfred Herrhausen, Speaker of the Board of the Deutsche Bank, fell victim to a terrorist attack whose instigators and executors remain unknown until today and can walk free without fear of prosecution. Strategically farsighted, Alfred Herrhausen had proposed for quite some time a remission of debt for developing countries, especially in the year of the crash of 1987. But in the eyes of his enemies his proposals were absolutely unbearable. Since besides the remission he now also asked for an economic development plan for Eastern Europe. Herrhausen spoke of a Polish development bank modeled after the Credit Bank for Reconstruction. Here Herrhausen contravened, not just in the eyes of Colonel Prutty, the unwritten laws by the Londoner and New Yorker monetary power groups and so got caught in the terrorist net of his enemies. At the significant moment of the collapse of the communist system in the East, Chancellor Kohl failed to instigate a global change of direction towards a real rebuilding plan for the East. This would have necessitated a bread with the predominant financial circles at home and abroad and would have fundamentally influenced the traditional power structures of the old victorious powers. According to Der Spiegel, Chancellor Kohl said after the murder of Herrhausen that he had lost a strategically thinking close advisor and that now petty minds dominated in most of Germany. Following this terrible deed Kohl and his government did not dare to expose the reasons for the crime to the public and to motivate police and investigators in such a way that the murderers and the men behind would be caught, their motives established and their deed atoned. Instead, the public was told something about a third Reich generation, supported in part with false testimony. 4 years after the assassination of Herrhausen, the void he left is very apparent. Entrepreneurs and leaders in economy, science and research avow that, even if the need for a large development plan in the production triangle of Paris, Berlin, Vienna, with extensive infrastructural measures in the energy, traffic and water supply sectors is recognized as the motor of a Eurasian upswing, no one would now, after the killing of Herozen, risk his or her head for programs which are recognized as being correct, with which run counter to the predominant monetary power ideology.